Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Anyway, today I'm really excited to be with Heather Pritchett. Heather, hello?
Hi, Scott. It's nice to see you.
So Heather, I want to jump right in and find out like who you are, what you do, and tell me a little bit about your company. I'm sure like people need to know what happens back at the home office.
Sure, I'll be happy to start with that. First of all, I do work for a company called OutSystems, and we have a high-performance, low-code platform for developing applications. And our customers come from almost any industry across the globe, and they are building applications that help them innovate, compete, and deliver better experiences for their customers, their partners, and their employees. That's in a nutshell what they do. I always like to throw out who our buyers are, because that provides some context around advocacy programs, I think. And our buyers are IT buyers. So we're working generally with CIOs, VPs of IT, and app development down to the manager and director level.
So you mentioned low code. So just for my education, really, and I'm sure others, what's the difference between low code and no code?
Oh boy. Okay. Now you're going to test me. So no code is truly more designed for a business user. Somebody like me as a marketer that could go in and build a very basic application, whereas low code really, it allows the opportunity for developers. And then that gets into our secondary persona, which are developers. There are people who actually are writing code or have been writing code that will utilize that knowledge, because sometimes they need to build out and extend the application that they've built with OutSystems with some additional code or some JavaScript or some things like that. And so that's the biggest difference. So it's not just no code. There could be some coding involved, and it's really designed more for actual developers and not just a business person developing applications.
That's really helpful. In Obsession, our conference last June, you gave a really powerful presentation about advocating for the customer advocate. It'd be great to talk to you about that today and understand, like, when you're putting together an advocacy program or other customer marketing programs, how should people prepare to work with their internal stakeholders?
Yeah, I think that is definitely something that we've learned some lessons around over the past few years. We've actually had a formal advocacy program since, I guess it was around 2016. So I've been working in this space for OutSystems on this specific function for about 6 years, and kind of didn't really know what I was doing at the time. We're just kind of moving forward and putting together what we think makes sense, and trying to learn as much as we can from others and our peers in the industry. And we were so focused, I think, on the customer and trying to get our customers to advocate for us that we didn't really stop to think and put a lot of effort around how do we get our stakeholders on board. And so I learned a lot from how we got started and how I would approach it if I did it again. I think when OutSystems started, well, first of all, we did get a little bit lucky, I think, in the sense that we had a CMO that felt we needed this function. He felt we're at a stage in our company where we needed to put a customer advocacy program into place, and it needs to be global. And he was our executive sponsor for that. So that definitely gave us some legs. It wasn't starting from the bottoms up. So I'm sure that's a completely different situation or challenge. But it still didn't mean that it was that easy. But what I learned is a couple of things. One, we had two major areas of focus when we started. One was to build out a presence, an online review of a presence on some of the major sites, but most particularly Gartner Peer Insights. And that may sound very tactical, but back at that time, Gartner Peer Insights was actually just launching, believe it or not. And so it was brand new. The categories were just being created. And OutSystems, to help us differentiate ourselves, our goal and objective is always to be the market leader. And we've been the market leader from the analyst side for a number of years for our space. And so having that customer feedback to complement what the analysts are saying was super important to OutSystems and had visibility all the way up to our board level, actually. It's not even just our senior management, but it was very important even for our board. The second thing, the other very first thing we got quickly off the ground was a customer advisory board. Because at the stage of growth that we were at, we wanted to make sure that we were not losing connection with our customers, that we really understood what their priorities were and what their challenges were so we could continue to make sure that we're delivering value to our customers. The reason I say that is because it taught me a couple of things. One is aligning to the most important priorities of the business. So whether you have that executive sponsorship at the top or you're starting at the bottom and you're trying to build these programs and get support for them, knowing what those business priorities are and thinking about how these types of programs can impact them was very important. And then from that, the other thing I learned is it helped establish getting some of those early successes, starting small with a couple of programs, making them very successful, builds trust and credibility for the programs, and it shows what they can do for those business objectives. It also allows you to start to establish some relationships as well at a higher level. For us, one very important one was with the CAB specifically, obviously as CABs are very visible at senior levels of management, all the way up to even, of course, the CEO, and very closely tied to our product organization. So it gave us a really great opportunity to build some relationships there and show them the value of what working with customers and these types of programs can do for them.
You started with reviews, and then you also worked on CABs. So I imagine, yeah, as you pointed out, CABs are close to the heart of the C-level folks, so they want to make sure that the CABs get executed well. Let's just dig a little bit into the details about like how you partnered with the product team and or senior management, like how you approached, okay, you got the priorities, but how did you approach the game plan? And the second part would be, how did you keep them informed?
I'm pulling from memory. That was about 6 years ago. So bear with me for a second. But yes, one of the first things I did, of course, was just research. And I had a little bit of experience with an advisory board from a previous company. We had actually outsourced to an agency. And so I went back to pulling from some of the things that I thought worked well there, as well as doing a lot of research on what the best practices for CABs are. And then I really spent some time with our CMO and really started to understand what are the things that are most important for us, for OutSystems, to get from this program. We're going to put all of this investment into a CAB. And so from that, I started working with some of the senior leaders across the different departments, because as most people that have had experience with CABs know, it's product is a big focus, but there's also different parts of the business, the support experience, the buying experience, messaging, what it's like to go through training and adoption of a product. So there's a lot of different areas of the business that it covered. So because of that, I had to start working with different functions. But as I mentioned, and we were talking about product specifically, that is a big one. And it helped that I had been in the company and I had already established some relationships, because there is a lot of crossover between marketing and product. So I did have at least a baseline knowledge of this group. And so when they saw the opportunity to, wow, you're going to give me access to some of our best and biggest customers, and I can sit in a room with them all day and just hear what their challenges and needs are. And that really, of course, resonated quite a bit with them. That even also helped us expand some of the product connection to our advocate network as over the course of time as we built that out. But that, I think that just really resonated with them, and they saw this as a huge benefit, not just something I have to do, but they saw what they could get out of it. And the way that we would keep them informed is, or communicate with them around it, is in the planning process, just really understanding what are the priorities, what are the things we need to communicate, what are the things we need to get back from those customers. And then, of course, we would just work through leading up to the actual meeting itself. And then afterward, do a recap on what did we hear? What are the major actions? What are the things that we need to consider? And I've even gotten to a point where I've created, we use Asana a lot, and I've created Asana projects of all the different actions. And it might be a general action of, we need to go investigate a specific feature set or a different way of approaching things with our product. Or it could be as specific as, this customer has a challenge that we can help with, and this person group needs to talk to them. And so it's not been super formalized. It's really been more focused around leading up to a meeting and then after the meeting.
Got it. And looking back, and then what challenges did you run into, and what would you have done differently, or what are you doing now based on those learnings?
I mean, when it comes to working with our internal stakeholders, I think I would have recognized earlier to be more strategic, I guess, in the way that we are communicating the program. I think we did a good job in pieces, meaning it's an initiative. We would work with people we needed to work with and help explain the value to them and what's in it for them. I think when I was built, because the program started in bits and pieces and then has built out over time, we didn't have that thought mindset around it. And so I think the challenges that we had were just around that and not having a broader scope. For example, we were probably a year or so into the program and, you know, we needed advocate. We were starting to build this program. We did reviews, which was kind of a more of a broad-based approach to engaging with customers. We had a CAB, which was a very, of course, invite-only specific group. But we needed to build up an advocate role to serve as references and to fulfill all of the requests that people would love to hear, either get feedback from customers or have them speak about something. And at that time, so we started thinking, what can we do to build this up? And who has the best relationship with the customers? Sales are usually the tightest connection to sales. It's either sales or success, depending on the organization and how it's operating. But we went to sales and we thought about, okay, what motivates sales and what's in it for them? And we learned a lot, which is, again, the what's in it for them, making sure you understand that and making sure that resonates. We also understood what the motivations of them were. They want to make their quota. They want to increase revenue and increase their sales volume. And we put it in the lens of references can help you do this. And then we thought about the motivations. They like money. They're commission-based. So we put a contest together for some pretty big cash prizes for the people that brought in the most advocates. And so that really gave us a great starting point with that team. So that stakeholder. And that's something that we've continued to build on over time with different cadences, depending on what the needs are at the moment, changes in teams, et cetera. But that's been something that was super helpful.
Have you looked at what's in it for them and in a different way for different groups, like the product team versus the sales team versus customer success?
Absolutely. And I think that's key, is thinking about each of your stakeholders. They're probably similar across companies. It's going to be customer success if you have that group, sales, and then there's going to be the execs, as we talked about, in product. But marketing, like we sit in marketing and sometimes we forget that marketing is a stakeholder, and sometimes we forget to put the effort there. It could be the partner organization that you work with in some cases. So thinking through each of those groups and what you need from them, as well as what they're going to get from you and from these programs. And it is different. And there's probably some similar qualities across any organization that, like I said, sales is always going to care about how this helps them increase their quota. But customer success may be more focused on, hey, these programs can actually bring more value to my customers. The more engaged they are in these programs, the more likely they are to stick and to have better adoption and actually buy more eventually. And all of those things, I think some customer success teams could be measured on NPS. Ours is not, but it could be. And how does this help improve and the NPS rating of their customers, the satisfaction? On product, they're wanting to primarily get feedback and have access to a pool of customers that they can go to. What's their go-to group for a beta, the beta solutions, or for trying out a new feature or just getting feedback in general? So if you don't know what they are, though, I think it's important just to go ask them and do some research and start from there.
Yeah, I'm guiding, or some people use the word coaching, someone who's earlier in their career about like how to handle stakeholder management. We actually built a whole scorecard. Maybe I need a better word for that, but in a Google Sheet, we basically listed out, here are the different departments in the company. And then column-wise across the top would be like, here are the people that we think within those groups who will really be enthusiastic about what we're doing. Another column is who the naysayers will be, because you really understand like what the naysayers might say. And then there's some other parts of it as well. When you're thinking about people writing reviews and people who are on CABs and your beta testers, are you able to take kind of a holistic approach to it? Or how are you thinking about, that's just three groups, I'm sure there are others. How are you thinking about all these groups and how they work together?
So we do try to take a more holistic approach. And one thing that we did, so I would say roughly about a year into starting this function, was to create a more formalized advocate network or advocate group and actually telling a customer, hey, would you like to be part of this advocate group? Putting some more structure around it. And it's definitely evolved quite a bit over the years. And now we call them ambassadors, and we have somebody that's been working full time on this program for about 4 years. And we've tried to make that the central point of everything. Like, we try to run as much more broad communications and engagement through that person and then that group of people. Our CAB members, we call it OAC here, is OutSystems Advisory Council. They're a subset of ambassadors, but we call them Uber ambassadors, the ones that are kind of treated a little bit differently. And then we have the broader customers at large. So what we've tried to do, for example, with a reviews program is really try to leverage all of the different touch points that a person would have in their journey. We do run promotions with our ambassadors, for example, to write some reviews. Hey, we'll give you an incentive for us. Something we've seen working really well lately is free certifications on our products through our training organization. Sometimes it's a standard gift card or something else. So we do go through them, but we also don't just limit it to that group. And so it really kind of depends on the ask. Reviews is more of that broader ask. For example, we have our customer success team. We have a quarterly contest for the one that gets the most reviews from their customers. Hmm. We also have follow-ups to CSATs from our professional services team, for example. People who get certified on our product, invite them to share their experience. So it's quite a bit more broad. But if we're going to something that's a lot more specific and we need feedback, we'll usually go just to that ambassador group. And then depending on the case, it may even just be the OAC or a subset of that ambassador group that fits.
That's really helpful. And you mentioned earlier, like, you started with reviews and CABs. I often get asked the question, where should I start? Or how should I think about which kind of programs to start with? Any advice for folks?
Yeah, I think it really goes back to, what do you think is going to make the biggest impact quickly? So what are the priorities of the business? And starting there, maybe you're trying to break into a new market. Maybe it's like us. Our big focus right now is on awareness for the company and how we can leverage customers to help us with word of mouth and add credibility and trust to our brand. It could be shortening a sales cycle or helping compress support times. It depends on what it is for your business. So I think really understanding the top 2 to 3 priorities and thinking about how a customer program could help make those priorities.
Got it. And you also mentioned, so we've talked about employees and we've talked about customers. You mentioned partners. Tell me a little bit about how you work with your partner stakeholders.
Yeah, so we have a pretty good open line of communication with our partner marketing team. And in fact, a lot of our opportunities to engage with customers come through our partners and through our partner marketing or field marketing organization that are working with them locally. And so our engagement it's not, I would say, quite as formalized. We don't have a formalized structure for them. We have done some enablement, for example. We'll join some of the partner webinars, or we've even done videos as part of a partner kickoff that can say, hey, here are ways that you can get your customers engaged in this program. And again, the what's in it for them, what's going to help you as a partner is likely going to be generally the more people that are using the product and are customers of the company. It's just going to bring more business to you. It's going to make your customers more likely to stay and retain and to continue to work with you and in leveraging the platform and just making sure that they're aware of how they can leverage these programs. But I would say primarily the main area of focus with them is working directly with these customers to help tell their stories or get them engaged in some type of activity.
Great. I actually thought of something. So before COVID decided to join us, were you working at the home office?
Yeah, we did have an office in Atlanta that I was part of for a number of years. And then as I got into this role and working with more of a global team and not working with as many people in the office. And if anyone's familiar with Atlanta, traffic is horrendous. So yes, it felt like a much better use of my time to spend the majority of my time at home.
So my question is, has your engagement with your internal stakeholders changed at all since COVID hit?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's definitely more virtual. I would say probably the biggest drawback is the opportunity to build relationships and to spend face time with these stakeholders has dropped. Whereas before COVID, again, not even going to the office, there were plenty of opportunities through in-person CABs, through in-person events and team meetings and sales kickoffs and other types of, seems like every month or every 2 months, there was an opportunity to be talking with someone from some of these teams. And so that decreased a lot. And then, of course, you got a lot of change in organizations that's been happening for the past couple of years. That's no surprise. And Altus has not been immune to that. There's been new people joining that I've never even met in person. And so it does take a lot more work, I think, to build those relationships virtually. But that's why it's so much more important to capture their attention with how these programs can help them.
Yeah, I worked at HubSpot for 2 years and I never met anybody in person that I worked with. And I've been at
base
for 7 months and I've already been to Israel. So it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, it really helps.
This is really a fascinating conversation. Is there anything I haven't asked you about advocating for the customer or employee advocate that you think I should have asked?
I guess the biggest thing is just to kind of double click on is the flywheel. That constantly communicating with those internal stakeholders, explaining how it's going to benefit them, is just going to feed more into your programs. And it's just that ongoing circle. And I want to say one more thing too is, and this is something we've learned, is it's got to be constant. And I will say we have not perfected everything yet. We're still working.
Continuous improvement.
I like that. Continuous improvement. Yes. We are definitely on that mode because we're a small team and we serve a global company and a global sales force and global customers. So it's hard to do everything. One thing you learn is as soon as you kind of back off from having that staying top of mind, you lose their mind share because they're so focused on their day to day. And even if it completely resonates in that moment and for a month or for a quarter, they get busy. So finding ways to stay top of mind and reminding them of the benefits to them is really key.
Yeah, no, that's really important. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to what you said is like there's a lot of people listening in or watching this or a small team, like one or two people, and they're wearing many hats. And the challenge is like, how do you prioritize your hat collection?
Exactly. And then when people find out that you're the go-to for this gold mine of customer information or customer access, it just starts to come in all different ways.
So before we wrap up, I'm just curious, like, what has really influenced you in terms of your career, whether it's a resource or resources, or whether it's a person or a group of people or a mentor? What's influenced you?
I think there are actually two things. One is because of my background in marketing, I was either working more in the field or on the corporate side, but both of those areas gave me the opportunity to get exposure to customers. And I learned early on the power that customers have to tell your story better than a vendor ever can, because they can actually talk to the real success and value. And I also loved working with them and making sure that they were getting a great experience. And how can I, in whatever capacity that I'm representing that company in, or whatever my role is, make sure that the customer is having a great experience? And what can I do to help support that? And so I found that love for working with customers pretty early on, which really got me super excited when this opportunity came up at OutSystems about 6 years ago to move from a more of a field role into this role. And so I think that's been a big influence on getting me where I am today and in an area of our organization. Again, it's in marketing. So what I say in an area of marketing that I enjoy much more than any that I've ever done. And I find it much more rewarding. And then the second thing, I think I do have the opportunity to lead a team of people, and it is small. It's three people and a couple of contract workers that we also have working with us right now. And our team has been fairly stable for the most part with a couple of changes for the past, I would say, 4 years. And the passion that they have and the motivation that they have for the work that we do and for the dynamic that we have and the success that we've been able to bring and impact to the company, it has influenced me and my leadership and just always trying to be the best leader that I can for them. Like, I never want to fall short, and I'm sure I do, but it has really influenced me in making sure that I'm putting attention towards that piece of not just the customer programs, but how do I lead a team focused on these programs in the most effective way for them?
Well, it's pretty amazing that you've been in the same company for 6 years and your team has as well. I think especially these days where people are moving around so much for numerous reasons, but I think that it says a lot about the company as well as your team, that it's a nice relationship there, that stability is there.
It is. And it's actually more than six. I think about a week away from my 10-year anniversary.
Oh, I don't know where I got six from, but okay.
Well, because I've been doing this role for, I've been in advocacy for 6 years. So I think it's even crazier to think, who's at a company for 10 years these days? But, you know, it is a great company and they've given a great opportunity for growth, being able to try new things. And one thing about OutSystems is a lot of people move around to different roles and get to have different experiences. And because we're a very dynamic and growing company and everything's changing very quickly. So from that standpoint, it is kind of crazy that most of our team has been together for at least 3 to 4 years, I would say, working together.
Well, I think that's key in terms of employee retention, and people are looking for in their own brand, but also building their skill set. So if you can move around, that's great. Heather, anything else I haven't asked that you want to share with folks here today?
No, I think you covered a lot.
This has been amazing. I watched the Obsession video earlier today with your presentation. We're going to have you on again at some point.
Thank you for helping advocate for the advocate. So the advocacy function and anything that, you know, that we can do to help people with that is great. So thank you for that. And thank you for the opportunity to come on and share some things that we've done and things that we've learned.
No, it's been great. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today at Customer Led Groove. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and maybe the first one to say this on Alexa. Make sure that you come and visit newly launched CLG Campus. And thank you, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG Campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.